And now, back to brainstorming with Billy.
A perfectly good brain wasted.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
You're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain here on KKZZ Positive Talk Radio for Ventura and Santa Barbara counties. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is challenging established beliefs. All of my guests are discussing topics that may challenge you to think differently. My next guest is a reformed currency trader for American Express and HSBC who's turned his talents to leadership education and coaching. He has a uniquely global view about why we have too many bosses and too few leaders. We'll discuss his observations from his 20-year career. If you want to join in the conversation, you can always call us at 639-0008. Rajiv Peshwari is currently the CEO of ICLIF Leadership and Governance Center in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia, which provides executive education, advisory services, and executive coaching to professionals and board directors in Asia, Middle East, and Africa. He has lived in 13 cities in 7 different countries, which gives him a truly global perspective. Rajiv has extensive global experience in all aspects of human capital management, with particular focus in the areas of leadership development, organizational effectiveness, performance management, succession planning, and learning and development. Prior to joining ICLIF in April of 2010, Rajiv spent 22 years at the blue chip corporations such as American Express, HSBC, Goldman Sachs, Coca-Cola, and Morgan Stanley. In his most recent corporate position as the chief learning officer and head talent management at Morgan Stanley, he founded the Morgan Stanley University. Rajiv began his career as a currency trader, as I said, before recognizing his talent for leadership and education coaching. He received his MBA from Webster University in Vienna, Austria, and a Bachelor of Commerce from the University of Bombay, India, in Commerce and Economics. Welcome to the show, Rajiv. How are you today?
I'm very well, and thank you for having me, Bill.
Well, thank you for being our guest. So let me set the stage for my listeners. Today, U.S. corporations spend about $40.5 billion on leadership development programs every year. This is according to the American Society of Training and Development. But the money, is it giving us better leaders for all the money that we are spending? Now, Rajiv, you ask a very interesting and critical question to anyone in business today. Of all the bosses that you've had in your career, how many would you call truly great leaders? And by truly great leader, you kind of define that as someone who inspired you to show up every morning, to do your best work, someone who made you believe in yourself, and who genuinely cared about your success as someone and someone that you wanted to follow. So when you ask this question to people in business today, Rajiv, what is their typical answer?
You know, I've been asking this question for about 13 years now, and I've asked it on every continent. The answer is always 0, 1, or 2 at best.
Not very many. I mean, that's a surprisingly low number, isn't it, Rajiv?
It is an extremely low number, and that's disappointing given the amount of money that gets spent on leadership development every year. It doesn't change by industry, by culture, by geography. Anywhere I ask, the most common answer is 1 or 0.
Well, with that surprisingly, disappointingly low answer, what are some of the reasons given for why there are so few who would fall into your category of truly great leaders?
Well, you know, I think the leadership development industry is getting it wrong. First of all, I think we are trying to teach something that cannot be taught. Leadership is not about competency models or psychometric tests to determine your personality or to do copycat role plays or case studies of famous leaders and then copying their 3-step formula of success. I think those are the kind of things that the money is spent on. If we could learn leadership through a 3-step formula or by copying somebody else's behavior, we would all be leaders. So the first thing is that it cannot be learned. It must be self-discovered. Second is that leadership has nothing to do with authority or power. Third is that leaders are made, not born. You know, there are all these things that that nobody wants to acknowledge. At the end of the day, leadership has nothing to do with the things I mentioned. It has to do with the ability of a leader to create a better future. To be able to create a better future, you need tons of energy, because the moment you say you want to change something, 1,000 people are going to tell you in 1,000,000 ways why you will fail and why it is a bad idea. So it all boils down to having that energy and not giving up, and you cannot learn that energy in a classroom. It must be self-discovered. That's, I think, the biggest problem.
Well, that is a huge problem. And in your book, it's titled Too Many Bosses, Too Few Leaders. So let's break it down. What's the difference between a boss and a leader?
Well, I see five differences, Bill. I'll go through them quickly. The first one is that leaders are clear about two things. One, their purpose, the results they want to create, and the other, their values. How are they going to go about it? This clarity of purpose and values gives them the energy they need to stay the long course despite the most formidable of obstacles. So that's the first one.
Okay.
Second one is leaders understand grief, pain, and sorrow, whereas bosses typically have unresolved grief inside them and therefore are not able to build trusted bonds with people.
All right. Before we leave that one, Rajiv, let's drill down on that one for just a minute if we can. We'll get to your other three as well. But leaders must understand grief, sorrow, and failure. Explain a little bit more detail what you mean about that. Are you talking about grief, sorrow, and failure within an organization, or grief, sorrow, and failure within their employees and their subordinates' lives?
Both, and also within themselves, for themselves.
Okay.
They must have experienced grief, pain, and sorrow and failure at their personal level as well. You see, one of the things that leaders need to do is build trust-based bonds, deep bonds with other people.
Right.
And to build trust-based bonds, you need to be able to understand and resolve grief. If you cannot, there are a lot of people out there, bosses, who have a lot of unresolved grief in their own bodies that they don't know how to process themselves. If you cannot understand and process your own grief, how can you understand somebody else's grief? And if you can't do that, how can you build a trust-based deep bond? That's where I come from.
All right, just one more follow-on question, Rajiv, and that is, how does one resolve grief or sorrow or failure in their life?
Well, first of all, you need to get into the habit of self-reflection. You know, developing the skill of understanding your emotions. And understanding your emotions can only happen if you understand your values. Because, you know, you feel emotional when there is a match or a mismatch between your deeply held values and a situation at hand. So a lot of people cannot articulate what my values are. The moment you get clear on your values, you start getting clearer on your emotions. And then you start understanding your grief, your pain, your sorrow. And just a habit of self-reflection in learning from failure.
Wow. Well, that is worth it right there. We're talking to Rajiv Peshwaria, who is the author of the book, Too Many Bosses, Too Few Leaders, The Three Essential Principles You Need to Become an Extraordinary Leader. And Rajiv, I cut you off there because I wanted to drill down on those questions, but you were talking about the five things that you really need to be an inspiring leader. And you had know your purpose, values, and act on them, process and understand grief, sorrow, and failure. What's next?
So the other three differences between leaders and bosses are leaders forgive, whereas bosses hold grudges. You know, this idea that I will never forgive somebody who harmed me, the only person you're punishing is yourself. So leaders have understood that and given themselves the gift of forgiveness.
All right.
Number four is leaders willingly share both authority and responsibility, and they enlist co-leaders. They treat their direct reports as co-leaders, not as somebody as people who just work for them, whereas bosses hoard power. And finally, leaders are those people who have successfully made a transition from what I call I to we. They understand that it's not about creating results themselves, it's about creating conditions for other people's success. Bosses, on the other hand, remain fixated on I and create conditions to maximize their own success.
All right. Now, that's all very valuable, and that's a great differentiation between a boss and a leader. But here's the question for you. In most organizations, compensation and advancement are really based on some certain criteria, and everybody in the company knows what that is. Unfortunately, compensation is basically based on being a boss, not a leader. It's based on getting the things done, you being the one who is the one who moved the project forward to completion. And really, what's the motivation within a company to have great leaders when they're compensating based on being a great boss?
Well, in the long run, a company will only be successful if it creates a better future for its customers, for its clients, if it creates something that people need. So my definition of leadership, which is leadership is the art of harnessing energy towards the creation of a better future, I think that is more applicable today to companies than ever before. And in the old notion that, you know, your compensation is going to be determined by the number of staff you have or the scope of your job, I think those days are those concepts are a little bit outdated, because if you look at some of the recent success stories in the corporate world, you find that it's got nothing to do with the number of people. Some of the best companies were created in garages by two people. We live in an internet-enabled world, so this idea of, you know, compensation based on job scope and job size, the size of your budget, I think is a bit outdated. I think we have to start rewarding people for the better futures that they create for their organizations and for their clients and for people at large. And it's time to take a fresh look at this.
All right. We're talking to Rajiv Peshwaria, everyone. And you've got the three essential principles that you need to become an extraordinary leader, Rajiv. What are those principles?
So the three principles basically are, the first thing, as I was mentioning earlier, is to develop clarity of purpose and values.
Mm-hmm.
To become a leader yourself, you really need to understand what your purpose is and what your values are, because you need to give yourself long-lasting energy to keep going despite a lot of resistance and obstacles that are going to feel. And you're only going to find that energy by getting clear on your purpose and your values. Every time you feel like giving up, you remind yourself again what your purpose is, what your values are, and put that particular disappointment in perspective. Yeah, so that's the first principle.
Okay, that's
energizing
good.
Yourself by clarifying your purpose and your values. The second is knowing that today's world is changing so fast that nobody has all the answers. No single individual has all the answers. You now need to find a handful of people and enlist them as your co-leaders. Typically in an organizational context, that's your direct reports. You have to treat them as co-leaders. You have to enlist them as co-leaders and align their energy to your purpose and values to make it shared purpose now. And then together with you and your co-leaders, you get to the third principle, which is energizing the rest of the organization, the thousands of people that work in your organization. And you do that by deciding what to focus your time on. And good leadership teams, most effective leadership teams, basically proactively shape what I call the three pillars of sustainable growth, which is the brains, the bones, and the nerves. Brains is the vision and strategy of the organization. The bones is the organizational architecture. You have the right people in the right job, right systems, right structures. And the nerves is the culture of the organization. So by first energizing yourself, then by enlisting the energy of a few co-leaders, you galvanize the energy of the entire organization by shaping the brains, bones, and nerves of the organization. Those would be the three principles.
All right, Rajiv. Let's put this into some more concrete terms for my listeners, if you will, please, because you've worked with some extraordinary leaders at such great companies as American Express, Morgan Stanley, Coca-Cola, HSBC, which is a large bank, Goldman Sachs, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So let me rifle some names at you and ask you to explain how this particular leader exhibited the essential principles that you described. And the first one is the CEO of Acumen Fund, Jacqueline Novogratz.
Mm-hmm. Well, Jacqueline actually lives all those three principles. The first thing she did was get very clear, right from an early age, what her purpose in life was. And she wanted to make the world a better place by bridging the gap between the rich and the poor. She wanted to make quality goods and services available to the poorest of people all over the world so that they could have the dignity of choice. Right? So mm-hmm. She was very clear about her purpose. Second, okay. She was very clear about her values. She wanted to to see people treated with respect, with dignity. She wanted to have audacity of goals for herself as well as maintain things like humility. So anyway, purpose and values, she absolutely knew that very early on. Next, she knew that to create Acumen Fund, which provides philanthropic capital, but in the form of debt or equity, to organizations that solve the problems of extreme poverty, and gives them training to do that. She enlisted a whole bunch of co-leaders because she knew she couldn't do it alone. And together, she shaped the strategy, the organization, and the culture of her organization. The moment you walk into the offices of Acumen Fund, you can actually feel the energy of the people that work there.
Yeah.
So I think she's a great example of somebody who lives the three principles.
All right. Well, let me ask you about another one, Rajiv, and this one might be more familiar to some of my listeners who are connected to business, and that is John Mack, who's the former CEO of Morgan Stanley.
Yeah, I mean, I worked closely with John during the financial crisis, and I can tell you he not only during the crisis, but always exhibited most particularly the second principle, which is you need to enlist a bunch of co-leaders and use their energy together with yours to galvanize the rest of the organization. You know, when in 2008, when Merrill Lynch had perished, Lehman Brothers had perished, everybody thought that Morgan Stanley was going to be next. Mm. And as the firm under John's leadership was trying to not only survive and save itself and then thrive after that, John, you know, throughout the whole crisis, the one thing that he was focused on was taking care of his immediate team of direct reports, his co-leaders. He said, you know, these people know how to get the capital injection we are trying to get from the Japanese or from the Chinese, which they eventually got from the Japanese. They know how to tackle the regulators. They know how to handle investors. They know how to handle employees. What my job is to take care of them. And he spent an inordinate amount of time throughout those weeks of the crisis, you know, looking after each one of them, making sure nobody was breaking down, making sure everybody was holding up. He was injecting humor through the most tense of moments to them. I've never seen somebody who stood by their team so strongly. He says, my job is to look after them, and they can look after the firm.
Ah, that's a great example. We're talking to Rajiv Peshwaria, and he's the author of the book, Too Many Bosses, Too Few Leaders. Now, an interesting example that you gave in the book, and somebody that I knew nothing about prior to reading your book, was Kiran Bedi, who is the Inspector General of Prisons in New Delhi. Talk to us about that. Why, and first of all, who is he, and why does he exhibit your leadership qualities?
Well, Kiran was the first female, the first woman to ever become a police officer in India. And this was in 1972. And, you know, she made the reform, policing and prison reform her purpose and decided to fight the corrupt and male-dominated system and clean it up. You can imagine the first woman in India ever to be a police officer in a highly corrupt and male-dominated system. It was hard for anybody, leave alone for a woman, and she never gave up. She absolutely never gave up. She was very clear about her purpose. She was very clear about her values of integrity. She even towed away the prime minister's car one time when she was in charge of New Delhi traffic.
Right.
It was parked in a no parking zone. She routinely was able to take on. She once fought. She was leading a small police unit trying to stop a mob of about 100 armed men armed with swords entering into another community. This was a religious mob. They were trying to enter another community to create mayhem. And, you know, her police party of a handful of policemen, all men, ran away for their lives. This woman, alone and armed with just a baton, fought an armed mob for 45 minutes until more reinforcements arrived. And eventually the mob was controlled. I could go on and on.
Well, it's an incredible story.
She was asked on TV or radio, how did you do this despite your petite size? And she said, well, I had the power of determination by my side. I knew it was the right thing to do, and I could do it. I just did it.
Now, it's a great, compelling story. We've been talking to Rajiv Peshwaria, author of the book, Too Many Bosses, Too Few Leaders, The Three Essential Principles That You Need to Become an Extraordinary Leader. Rajiv, if people want to learn more about you, learn more about the book, learn of some of those great stories that you have inside of the book, where would you direct them to go on the Internet?
www.rajivpeshwaria.com would be a good place to start. You can read a few sample chapters. You can read a few blogs. You can leave some stories there. I would say that would be a good place to start.
All right, Rajiv. Thank you so much for being my special guest here on Brainstorming. We'll talk to you down the road.